Check it, check it, check it. Part two, guys. I think I've got it. It's double merged mining, okay? Or merge mining within merge mining, okay? I'm about to blow your mind. Here's the deal. I'm pretty sure I've worked this one out. So here's the deal, okay? So you have two types of nodes, right? This is the important thing. You have your TSN blockchain of TSN blocks, which has your content, right? Your TSN references. And then you have your TSN Clout Ledger, right? Let's call it the Clout Chain, right? Just so it has a label going forward. The Clout Chain, right, only has transactions. Okay? Your TSN blockchain has TSN references, two distinctly different concepts. Now, TSN blocks happen around every day, right? Maybe slower than that. Big difference. Clout chain blocks happen at a much faster interval, which is set up front. Let's call it 10 minutes. For argument's sake, this will be easier, even though it could be like 1 minute, right? Like Dogecoin. Let's say 10 minutes for now. So, also, big thing. Different types of nodes, very different types. A Dogecoin node, right, or any traditional merge mining node is much more akin to, a Bitcoin node. They have there, for instance, with Dogecoin, right? You need these Litecoin miners to run Dogecoin nodes, which help Dogecoin wallets propagate, submit, and update and validate Dogecoin transactions, right? So, very different type of system from what will likely be with the TSN blockchain, just a simple master database type system or a leader follower, right? You're adding content to these blocks and just updating this database, which is just exactly replicated. No one else can write to this database. They can only, download a copy of it and read from it. They can't write to it. So the other system is much more complex, but complex problems that have already been solved in Bitcoin. And more specifically in merge mining, right? It's all open source. But so here's the deal. Here's how this is gonna work. For argument's sake, we're gonna say 10-minute cloud chain transactions. So your cloud chain block, okay, is going to have the most recently published TSN block as the input to its Coinbase transaction as part of that nonce section, right? And so this is what I mean by merge mining within merge mining, right? Merge mining is this concept of, embedding a hash of an auxiliary chain into a parent chain, right? So the reason it's double is because your clout chain transactions like Dogecoin or anything else are themselves embedded in either the Bitcoin or Litecoin blockchain, but their own blocks contain an embedded hash of a TSN block, right? One layer, TSN blocks at the lowest level. Your cloud chain at the middle level, and either Bitcoin or Litecoin at the top level, you understand? So, your cloud chain blocks are going to have TSN block hashes within them. Now, again, cloud chain blocks are much more frequent, for instance, let's say 10 minutes. But here's the thing, the difficulty in cloud chain transactions, right, is going to be based upon how many cloud chain blocks were solved within a TSN block interval, right? And it is for that very reason that a protocol is formed where you must be including your TSN block hash, your most recent TSN block hash, in your cloud candidate cloud block Coinbase transaction, right? And aside, the term candidate block in the TSN is a misnomer. It's a bad term. It should probably be changed, because in Bitcoin, the meaning of a candidate block is the block you are mining on. With us, it's not really that. It's sort of like an in-progress thing that hasn't been finished. What you're really doing is mining on the last published block. So that's aside. That's a communication thing that we'll have to better label. But nonetheless, so in order to follow the cloud chain protocol, you have to have the most recent TSN block hash in your cloud chain Coinbase reward input, right? And the reason you're going to be fucking doing that and following that fucking protocol is because that's how the difficulty in said protocol is determined, by how many cloud chain blocks have been solved in the interval since the last TSN block. And so everyone who's running the cloud chain protocol, which is merged mined, understands and knows it and will reject any blocks which do not have the most recent published TSN block as their Coinbase input, right? So it's a very simple protocol. And so obviously, if you're running a cloud chain node, your cloud chain, you also have to have, since you're merged, since it's like double merge mining, you have to have one level below. So you have to have your TSN replicated node that follows the TSN master node, right? So you're really running, whether you choose Bitcoin or Litecoin, say Litecoin, you're running a Litecoin node, which is the parent node, right? Then you're running an auxiliary cloud chain node, right? Which needs to have, you know, which is the parent of an auxiliary TSN block node. Now, two different structures based on the difference between the TSN blockchain and the more complicated version of cloud chain, which is basically the same shit as merge mining, but the difficulty is based on the most recent TSN block. Whether you're going to do it, for argument's sake, say it's every block, so then, you know, if you're choosing a 10-minute interval time for your cloud chain blocks as the target rate, then okay, well, BTC Joe did a TSN block, right, you know, block number, whatever it is, 10, number 10, and so everyone is mining their cloud chain blocks with block 10's hash in it, right? And then all of a sudden, BTC Joe publishes block number 11, right? And so there's no orphans or anything. Everyone knows block 11. There's no orphans in the TSN blockchain, right? There's no consensus there. It is what the master does. So everyone knows BTC Joe put out block 11. And if you don't, you better know, because your block's going to be rejected after block 11's published if you're not updating your cloud chain candidate blocks to include the block 11 hash. Further, you also know exactly how many cloud chain blocks there have been, right, since between block 10 and block 11 of BTC Joe's blockchain. which is how you're going to determine your difficulty in cloud chain mining. So your TSM blocks also have a distinct timestamp, right? Not only with a Bitcoin block, occurrence proof, a Litecoin block, occurrence proof, but they also have their own Unix timestamp is what they're going to have, right? So it depends how you want to do it in terms of potential forks in the cloud chain and how they're resolved, right? There's always going to be, in Bitcoin, there are forks, but they are resolved, you see? But so you could either basically do it by the Unix timestamp in the TSN block, which is like sort of the official way to reserve, say someone is mining the cloud chain and block 11 is published, but they didn't receive block 11, they didn't have a good connection to the master node, so they kept mining with the block 10 TSN block hash. But so everyone else thinks that their block is invalid, they think their block is valid. But surely they have a timestamp on their own block, right? A Unix timestamp. So everyone knows that their timestamp came after block 11 because they had block 11 and they could, reject. It seems a fair system to just reject their successful block because it was against the rules. Now I have to think about if there's some way the timestamp could be intentionally or unintentionally gamed there. I don't think it really could, right? But even if it could, you could sort of have the T, like BTC Joe could be acknowledging, if that were the case, then you could have BTC Joe or the cloud issuer, however you want to put it, that could make a part of their own TSN block, timestamp the most recent cloud chain block hash, right? So that's sort of would be like they, I would be resolving the fork. Is that sort of like this thing of checkpoints? It sounds like it. I'm not too familiar with that, but again, fierce principles, right? So I'm just thinking about it logically that I don't know if it's exactly like a checkpoint, but so you, if that timestamp thing were a problem in terms of forks, if forks could be created, I have to look into how merge mining has worked in practice with Dogecoin and other things if they have these forks, but I don't see why it would, or maybe they use checkpoints, I don't know. But if there was that problem, then it's simple. You just have TSN blocks use as part of their own timestamp, Bitcoin occurrence proof, Litecoin occurrence proof, the Unix time, and then also the cloud chain block hash before they publish their block, right? So it all really comes together beautifully. Now, I'm using 10 minutes, right? As our example, that's like if you that's like our example of 144 cloud chain blocks per TSN block. But if you wanted to do 2.5 minutes or 1 minute, you just up that 144 number, right, to have faster block confirmations. So that's kind of cool. And so maybe this could really work. You don't have to worry about any of that internal consensus jazz. You just have merge mining, which in turn has its own merge mining, which creates proof of work and anchors your historical record of content in time. And so really seems like this could work. Now let's get into tipping, transacting, and server feeds if we have time, right? So you really, I don't think, it looks like, wouldn't need to have your own unique PKI for this system. You could use any cryptocurrency addresses, and due to that, you know, you could, we spoke about how you could have tips and payments to the fingerprint of TSN references, right? Because they have their own unique fingerprint. Now, in practice, how is this going to work, right? I guess your wallet would need to essentially, someone tips you to your fingerprint of content, right? So Bob tips to Alice's, you know, TSN reference. So Alice, then her wallet, I suppose, is going to, what he's really doing is he's paying Alice's, you know, TSN address, which produced that fingerprint, but the blockchain doesn't know that. So what Alice is going to do to reference, Alice is going to reference that output, and she's also going to prove that she is the owner of, you know, in her transaction, she's going to prove that, you know, call it an unlocking script or script sig or whatever it is, she's going to prove that she owns, you know, the address that produced that fingerprint, which is all public to everyone, right? Your TSN content is public. That's the point of social media. And we spoke about how, in terms of tipping, it's kind of like likes in a way. It's like you're monetizing the like function, in a way. And so that's why, in that regard, it's okay that all those transactions are public. It's kind of this cool, fun feature to see how much clout a reference has accumulated. Now, of course, you have the option to do clout transactions privately by just sending them to an address that you control, right? That no one else necessarily knows you control. And so it looks like it could be any address in cryptocurrency, right? So, in other words, it's like in Bitcoin, when you pay to script hash, right? You're paying to a certain address which needs a script to redeem it. So the fingerprints of your TSN address in the form of in your content are like pay to script addresses, right? So you're not going to be able to spend, you know, some, you're not going to be able to spend an output that was sent to your TSN address fingerprint without proving that you own the address which produced that fingerprint, right? So, very similar mechanism. Now, server feeds, right? Let's get into that. Server feeds are pretty fucking cool. We spoke about how with GitTruth, server feed, when I say that, what I really mean is when you're backing up content itself on another server through whatever model there is. In other words, your own TSN content is, there's the record of your content, which is mined, right? Then there's the content itself, which you are storing, which can be, you know, voluminous data because you're only doing your own. You're not doing everyone else's. So that could be like a 3-hour video, right? It could be anything, and that's okay because not you're the only one who has to store and back it up. So with, you know, there could be all different types. Like with GitTruth, you'll see mirror server feeds who just people who want certain projects or certain aspects of projects to become mirrored because it's a benefit to the community. Now, the cool part comes in these sort of incentivized server fees, which could act sort of like, you know, YouTube or whatever it is. So YouTube, you could have your own channel, right? Which we don't need because your own TSN address and Block Publishing server is producing your own channel. But what you could see is server, like a YouTube like server fee, which is just aggregating you know, all this aggregating people's TSN references, which create this place you could go to look for new people. It'll be an index, a searchable database, right, where you can search keywords and this and that, similar to YouTube. But the difference is, and you know, YouTube is free to create their own server feed, but you know, doesn't allow acknowledging reality, like conspiracy realities, and you know, you're not allowed to say the color blue because it offends someone. They're free to create that one. And then there's going to be, you know, a whole range of things in between. Like if you go to the deep web or the dark web on Tor, there's some pretty fucking nasty shit. So that already exists, but you could have those two extremes and a whole range of everything in between. And so people are going to be able to monetize this stuff through their own cloud, the people who run these server feeds, right? So how's that going to work? You need to either mine or get your hands on some of the cloud of whatever server feed you want to back up your data on, right? Because you're going to have to pay in your cloud. You're going to have to pay in their cloud in order to do that with any of your TSN references. To get your TSN reference on their server feed, you're going to need to get your hands on some of their cloud and basically tip your own reference with their cloud, right? And so maybe they get pinged that you did that. I mean, they'll see the transaction in their ledger, but they wouldn't know the fingerprint is yours, so they, you know, they get pinged of the URL of the SIG page or however it's going to work. But so with server feeds, they're actually posting your 3-hour video or whatever it is, right? So they're going to have their own prices and their own clout based on data, and there could be a free market and they could all have their own prices, which is only fair. Now, they'll also have their own mining and so forth, just like everything, all the other TSN addresses, which you know, anchor their historical record in time. And similarly, they'll have their own tipping, but when you're going to tip something on a server feeds, you know, a server feeds database, then you have to use their clout, right? So if you're going to be popular enough, you may not need to use server feeds, right? I mean, you still, you know, because you'll be getting your own tips on your own page, but nonetheless, you are backing it up by putting it on their database, and it becomes searchable in their database and gets that exposure, and it could be tipped, it's just tipped in their cloud, and maybe, you know, that's more valuable if it's an up-and-coming server feed. It all depends, right? And so you could have all these different models, you know, from you know, maybe some Tor servers will just be, well, you pay their fee and it gets posted no matter what the fuck it is, because they're not responsible for it and all that jazz. Like, there's all that shit on there right now, but in this case they'd get paid for it in their own clout. And then you have the YouTubes of the world with their you know, ridiculous rules. And then they get to compete with all these other people who find the sweet spots in between, you know, and then we get to see where their actual competitive advantage is, right? Is it in, you know, maintaining the government's fictional reality of how the world has worked, or is it in server feeds that acknowledge reality? So in other words, you're gonna pay the server feeds fee, but some of them can have their own rules of what they're gonna post, and maybe you don't meet those rules, and then they just send you a refund right back to your own address if they're not gonna post it, right? And what else? And so also maybe, similar to the community model with Git Truth, maybe there's also gonna be some timeline or news feed servers, whatever you want to call it, which just have little, whatever amount they could afford to put that would be free, and they're gonna do this for small amounts per day, whatever they could afford, that's where they don't need to make money of it, and it's gonna be like, well, I'm following, the echo chamber type model, or I'm following these 100 people, and so I want to see a news feed server that just picks out stuff that was popular on their feeds, or however you want to do it, right? Or actually, thinking about it more deeply, maybe that's going to be the sort of consignment model that I've spoken about, where, as opposed to the server feed, which, you need to pay the amount in the server feeds clout, maybe these like communal feeds will pay the people they're posting the stuff in their own clout, right? Because, it's popular, people, and they're going to benefit from people coming to their feed. Or, that one's a tricky one. Or maybe it's like, we're getting real complex here, but maybe it's like a multi-signature address, right? Multi-signature TSN, like group account between some people, and so that's the address that produces these like communal feeds, and then you have to tip in that clout, and that clout is, owned by this multi-signature address. Now we're getting ahead of ourselves, but the basic models are there, right? We'll see how it actually plays out, but I don't know. This seems real big stuff with this merge mining or double merge mining, right? So I think that's it for now, and we'll be back soon.